Okay, welcome back. And I think most of you know, I think I just mentioned it, that COVID is on the rise around the country, especially in the Northwest and the South. There are a lot of cases. I haven't read anything yet which is talking about or alluding to a new strain, in other words, a new lab-released creation. But it's out there, and you don't want it. Your body will be swimming with spike protein. Allegedly, you're going to get rid of those, but that's not what's happening. It's still there. Doesn't matter if you're shed upon, you get COVID, or you've gotten the injections, you're spiked, and this is not a good thing. The results of the recent antibody tests showing the levels of spike antibodies in people and mentioning that the unvaxxed had a very low level. Well, that's maybe the biggest part of the story. The unvaxxed should theoretically have no spike antibodies, nothing to create antibodies against, but they do. It's everywhere. And the creeps who put all this together know. They knew in the beginning how they were going to try and capture the 20% that didn't get vaxxed. And it's just transfection. It's old stuff. Nurse Anne is back with us tonight. She works very hard, and it's always a pleasure to talk to her. She understands so much because she's knee-deep in it. Almost every day she works, she sees things that you will never hear about in the mainstream media. It's all hidden. It's all covered up. Hello, Nurse Anne, and welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm still here. Thank you.
Me too.
Isn't that the truth? A lot of people aren't. Now, I talked to somebody recently. Doggone it, who was that? I can't recall. But a couple of years ago, this woman was working as a CNA in senior assisted living facilities. It's a big business now. Those were prime targets early on in the genocide. They wiped out a lot of people. She said in the two facilities she worked at, she went back and forth, owned by the same corporation, they were having 13 codes a night on average.
Yeah.
13 a night.
Yeah.
And that's not a...
I would believe it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's not a hospital, which is where you are. And I wanted just to let you go and tell us what's happening since we last talked. What are the trends? How many things are you seeing that can be obviously attributed to the genocidal injections called vaccines, the mRNA, and what about turbo cancer, et cetera? So, well, go ahead and tell us, and then I'll jump in here and there.
Well, the biggest trends currently in the last, since the beginning of August to now, so we're looking at a month. Cases coming through the hospital. There's a huge attack on people's hearts.
Myocarditis, pericarditis, endocarditis.
And then heart failure.
They're just quitting.
Atrial fibrillation. And then they have severe muscle damage probably because they've had a heart attack unbeknown to them at the time.
Another thing I wanted to have. I forgot I was going to ask you last time about. We'll get back to that. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. And so that those are the severe high cases. Also in correlation with that are patients coming in. And they have acute to chronic kidney disease, now requiring to have a dialysis cath put in while in the hospital stay. And this is purely now that by accident we're finding these, their kidneys are basically no longer functioning the way they should. It's just because we do the blood work, and if we find that their levels of BUN and creatinine levels are through the roof, and they're requiring to have dialysis now. Heart is under severe attack. The kidneys are under severe attack. And then we're still finding cancers all over the gamut, all over where it doesn't matter. It can be the lung, it can be the liver, it can be pancreas, It's usually we're finding it actually almost too late as well.
When you mentioned kidney disease is now becoming apparent and rather profoundly obvious, this didn't used to be the case. It seems to me that many people, and I'm going to assume that probably around 80% of the patients in there with kidney problems are vaxxed. It used to be that they'd come in with other corollary to the vax complaints, but they wouldn't be detected as having kidney damage and disease mm-hmm. to the extent that you're saying. Is that true? It just took time.
That's true. They'd come in with symptoms presenting, typically respiratory or cardiac symptoms, like shortness uh-huh. of breath, chest uh-huh. pain. They're completely weak. They have they've altered mental status because they can't think because they're not getting oxygenated enough. So there's a gamut of that. And then when we start doing the workup, we come to find out now that they have significant kidney damage to the point wow. where they're wow. required to get a hemodialysis cath while in. For
that's huge.
The admission for something different.
Yeah, that's huge. So what we're seeing here is 2 to 4 years after vax, the chickens are coming home to roost. The disease, well, I hate to call it disease because it's been caused intentionally. The damage mm-hmm. that this genocidal war on humankind has really turned the corner now, and people are not being able to pretend that they're well as often as they used to. In the first couple of years, I'm all right. I'm not. Now that's a huge thing. So now, are you screening more carefully for kidney problems because of what you've been
all
finding?
All the time. Yeah, they're screened anyway by default because they come in, and we're doing what's called a basic metabolite panel, and we're watching. We're doing all the screening for their electrolytes and their kidney functions anyway. So it's just that we're coming to find now that there's more and more cases presenting with acute and chronic kidney issues. They're not aware of it at the time.
Right, I understand. Not good. I'm not terribly surprised, frankly. Are you? Because we knew this was coming.
No. I'm not surprised by the level of depth in regards to the illness because of mm-hmm. the fact that we were seeing a trend. It's just the trend has increased dramatically. But with heart disease, which they didn't have before, and they may not have any family issues with it, and now all of a sudden they're coming in with significant heart problems and correlating with the kidney problems. And then in addition to that, especially the old people, I should emphasize this more than any of the group of individuals I work with, the patients I'm seeing that are in the elderly population, so we're talking 69 and above, 69 years of and above, and they go into the 90s, huge, dramatic, violent, aggressive behaviors.
Wow.
Violent.
Well, it does sound like T lymphocytes are going after spike proteins and cells and neutralizing the cells in terms of their ability to produce any reasonably normal flow of proteins. They're just out of the game. And then the body's immune system, what's left of it, goes after those cells because they're defective, trying to fight them and get rid of them. And this leads to all kinds of confusions. Is that accurate as well?
Yeah. The behaviors are all new to the family members. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, they'll be saying, grandpa wasn't like that, or my mom was never like that. And we have a husband and wife team come in, and the wife is terrified of the husband now because he's had such aggressive behavior, and she's afraid to take him home with her. And we had security called on this man. He's like in his 90s, we had securities called on him. He hit a number of staff members.
He hit them, kicked them,
didn't believe he was in the hospital. You couldn't reason with him at all. He was completely aggressive and violent. It took multiple security people to hold him down so we could try and calm him down. Basically, we had to give him medication to calm him down. So we're chemically inducing sedation, basically. But it was the only way. It happened multiple nights in a row. And every single night we were calling security on this patient. So he's in his 90s. His wife is in his 90s. Her 90s, and she's trying to take care of him at home. She's terrified. Apparently, psych came in, evaluated him. This was a tragic situation of it all. And they had adjusted some medication for him and gave him this medication to help him calm him down. It's a medication they use a lot in the hospital. It's called Zyprexa. Well, once he started to calm down, when Cy came to see him, they said they felt that he was okay now and that his behaviors were under control, so he now could go home with his wife, who was still terrified of him. So here we have a situation where the psychiatrist signed off on it, and it's a completely unsafe discharge. And unfortunately, that man was sent home with his wife, who was absolutely terrified of him.
Wow. Not good. This is one area I was going to get into in a few minutes. We should just remind everyone out there who don't know or may not know that any time you've had the injection or been obviously severely shed upon, transfected, and impacted by the whole COVID spike galaxy of symptoms, you also are going to come across many people who are no longer, personality speaking, the same. They've been changed. They have been permanently changed, and it's often an aggressive, hostile, short temper, coldness. I've heard that one too. These people are not the same people anymore. It's not their fault, but they are not the same. They have been permanently, irrevocably damaged and changed by the lab-created COVID genocidal bioweapon. It's the truth, and you're seeing it. Are you seeing it more and more, would you say?
Yeah, every night now. Every night I come home and I'm jaded.
Wow.
Every single night. Our unit has multiple, they're classifying them as behavioral type patients.
Yeah.
So we now have a category called behavioral type patients.
So nobody's linking it. Nobody's linking it to the vax. Is that right?
No, they're not. Nobody's saying anything. And then I was there the other night, and I said, I just want to, a study came out of the New England Journal from the UK, a study from the UK, and they're actually saying that they're finding that there's a whole load of behavioral issues happening right now with the older population that wasn't there before. And the New England Journal basically didn't correlate it at all with the vaccine, of course not. But however, the study that was done in the UK did. They actually said that they feel that it's directly related to the COVID vaccine, and that they can confirm this because they knew that it did cross the blood-brain barrier.
Oh yeah.
And it is affecting the mentation of the older population. So the older population, they are getting to the point where they're getting removed from their homes. See, I don't know if this is actually planned or not anymore. They're getting removed from their homes, and they're no longer capable of being sent. This is the only reason he was sent home was because he had a wife to go home with. Had he not had somebody at home, he'd have been sent either to a care facility, either long-term care or a psych facility. This particular patient, he went home. But most of them don't go home after this. After their hospitalization, they're going somewhere else.
Wow. Wow. There must be, I don't know if there, are there enough facilities for people who have been psychologically damaged to the extent that the psychs will say they can't go home? Are there enough facilities out there to house these? You're warehousing humanity, is what you're doing.
That's a great question. That's a good question. And guess what happens? I will tell you honestly, in the area where I'm working right now, they closed down all of those psych facilities years and years ago, long before I ever came here. And they did not actually have an appropriate program or treatment or facility for any of the psych patients. They just unleashed them into the community. And now we have a situation where there's a huge shortage of these kind of facilities. So the only place they can send them is to nursing homes. So they're going to nursing homes with these issues on top of all of their medical issues as well.
Wow. Impossible.
And the nursing homes are... Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah, it's completely impossible because they have no means of controlling that situation other than giving them meds. But after a while, if the patients get suspicious of the medications, they stop taking them and then the behaviors come right back, which is what the nurses raised as a concern for the particular patient I told you about earlier, sending him home with his wife. If he stops taking those medications, she's in danger.
She is. Oh, yeah. Yep. I think many of you listening probably have known people who have changed for one reason or another in their definition of change. But in reality, it's because if you check, they've been injected, most of them. We're talking about 75 to 80%. And it does damage to the brain. Simple. And it's irrevocable. You can't reverse damage like that. And when you get genetic changes to the cells of the brain, you cannot reverse that either. That's what people don't understand. They think they can somehow detox from having the shots. You can't do it. It's a genetic, well, they used to call it a gene therapy, but there's nothing therapeutic about it. It's a genetic weapon that changes your body from the brain down to your toes, and the cells are no longer basically your own. They've been taken over by a foreign genetic control matrix, and they're done.
Yeah, that's the case. And I'll give you two other cases because I led in with heart issues that we're seeing.
Yeah, before you do that, hold on, Nurse Ann. You said earlier people are having heart attacks now and not knowing it. They're not officially logging it in. They're not phoning it in. They're not calling paramedics. They just have discomfort, pain, or whatever, and they've actually had a heart attack, which obviously leaves damage behind. That's happening too now.
Yes, and the damage is significant. So they have a heart attack. They don't know they have a heart attack, and then the damage is significant enough that it starts to lead to heart failure. By the time we're seeing them, they're already in stage two, stage three of heart failure.
Wow.
Like there's one to four stages of heart failure. They're already in stage two or three of heart failure.
Unreal.
So we're getting to them much too late, or maybe the disease or the vaccine is causing havoc with the body and creating an acceleration and the complications that's brought on after the heart attack and after they've gone into an arrhythmia or after they've developed heart failure. It seems to be accelerated at an extremely fast pace.
Well, I'll never forget.
Been happy to been really sick.
I'll never forget what Dr. Shankara Chetty said. He said, the spike protein is the most deadly thing that mankind has ever created. He said that in the beginning, I think in 2021.
Yeah.
And he was right.
I remember.
He never repeated that, by the way. He didn't repeat that. Really? He doesn't say it to this day. I've never heard him say it again. Maybe he is. I don't know, but I've never heard it. It was a powerful statement of absolute truth. That spike is so bad. People don't understand how their mind works. The mind works in mysterious ways to most. The memory that you have, that you hold on to of your life, all of your life's experiences, that memory is housed in the hippocampus. And in the hippocampus are what I'd call little biological hard drives. And in those little biological hard drives are the memories of your life, your life's experience. When those hard drives become damaged or defective, the body will create new ones to take their place, apparently, and absorb the data that they're holding. Think of them as hard drives again. Now, when those little hard drives are being destroyed by the spike, etc., and your own immune system, which is chasing after spike, they're not replaced. Those memories are just gone. It's like Alzheimer's. It's like dementia. But it's caused by the spike and the shots. And this is terrible. It's so many ways, dozens of ways. And I remember saying that back in 2020. This thing apparently, I would say, has dozens of ways to get into the body and do catastrophic damage. And that is all being borne out now. I don't know what it is. Is it a 3 to 5 year window, would you say, for people when things start to show up after getting injected? Now, for some, it's much sooner, of course.
Yeah, I think it's actually in that window. Yeah, there's definitely with this population I'm seeing now, they're in that under that 5 year window. So
they're
under the 5 year window, but they've been continuously taking the vaccines, the boosters. I mean, I look at the charts and I see the amount of vaccines they've already taken. It's absolutely horrific. You just look at it and say, okay, you know, this person's finished because they've taken so much of it, combined with the pneumonia vaccine, combined with the flu vaccine. They're taking it all. They're taking the boosters. And they're coming in as sick as they're coming in like, you would see a 50-something-year-old presenting like she was a 90-year-old. And I'll give you a classic example. I had a case. So I had a 53-year-old come in this week, and she presented with shortness of breath and dizziness and wheezing. She has known asthma. She has a history of asthma. And she had obstructive sleep apnea, so she was requiring oxygen at home at baseline, 2 liters, and then she was on the CPAP machine at night. So she presented with her legs were extremely edematous. They had a lot of swelling from fluid, and she was really short of breath, and she was very hypertensive, meaning that she had a very high blood pressure. Her blood pressure was in the 170s, 180s. That top number was 170s, 180s. So her body was working overtime, totally overtime. So she presents to us with, we do the blood work. We find out that she's in extreme congestive heart failure. Her number for her, or to confirm that she had congestive heart failure, was over 26,000. Anyone out there medically will know that's an astronomical number. She was 26,000, and she was requiring oxygen around the clock. She needed really close monitoring. She was on telemetry. She almost went to the ICU at one point, but we were able to help her and control her. The cardiac enzymes that we looked for to see if she had had a heart attack at that time were elevated, and they thought maybe she had a heart attack because they did see damage on the when they did the testing for that. They did an echocardiogram on her, and then the blood test, the troponin levels were elevated, but then they came to find out that when they checked her kidney function, that it was extremely elevated. So they related the troponin levels to her renal dysfunction, meaning that her kidneys weren't working. So that's what increased all of those levels. She's an extremely sick woman. She's truly an ICU patient. The ICU was packed. There was no room in the ICU.
And the percentage of ICU patients, Anne, who were shot up, percentage, approximate?
All 100%. 100%. 100%. So she ended up staying on a floor that was where the nurse has a ratio of patients of potentially 6 or 7 to 1. So it's a horrific, frightening number because you're dealing with all these behavioral type of patients and you're dealing with these really sick patients on top of that. And so we put her on the telemetry monitor, and she's in AFib. So now she's got an arrhythmia. Now, I've already listed out a whole load of medical problems right off the bat that we found when she came in. It didn't end there for her, though. You wait till you hear what happened next. So they went and they did a CAT scan of her chest because they thought maybe she may have some pneumonia. Well, they came to find out she has a 4-millimeter nodule in her right lower lung.
There you go.
So she had had a mastectomy years ago. Mm-hmm. And so she had previously had cancer, but she had a mastectomy, and it had been in remission. And now she has also got a nodule in one of her lymph nodes as well on the left side of her chest.
Oh.
And she's going to be followed up by oncology for that.
This woman has too many things coming at her. This is impossible.
It's incredible. And then so they did the echocardiogram on her, and they found that she has, her valves have failed. She's got mitral regurgitation.
53 years old?
Now, if I hadn't told you how old she was, you would have thought she was probably in her
78,
90s.
78, 80 at least?
Yeah,
sure.
No, 53. This is what we're seeing. So we're seeing people really, really sick that are in their 50s and 60s, presenting like they're in their 90s. And the 80s and 90-year-olds are presenting with huge issues with the aggressive behavioral issues.
Okay, this is really important for all of you who have no direct contact with people who have been injected multiple times with the vax, the genocidal vax, because the change in your loved ones will sneak up on you. You're not going to see it coming necessarily. It could build slowly, but sometimes it happens quickly. There's a wide range of potentials here. Another question. Are many people who have been injected multiple times with the so-called vax generating any number of illnesses? It's like a dam. A dam springs leaks. There's a leak over here, or a dike, whatever you want to call it. There's a leak over there. It's an illness profile. You got a problem here, you got a problem there. So medical science is able to plug a leak here. Medical science runs over and plugs another leak there. It plugs a leak up over here. This person is already presenting with, say, three potentially catastrophic problems, which are being managed temporarily by medical science. So they're still walking and talking, but it's only a matter of time before the medications no longer will be effective because of the amount of damage that those three things are doing and other areas. What these shots do to people is take them down six ways from Sunday. You don't just get one thing to worry about. So I'm wondering how many people are being kept alive and quasi-functional with modern medical science who are really at death's door, like you mentioned, the people who've had heart attacks and don't even know it. So
they're looking at her age, and she's 53. So she's coming in, and I mean, she is a patient on paper, and you look and say, she's in her, I would have said she's in her 90s, based on all of the stuff she's presenting with already.
Yeah.
And I didn't even finish the last problem, which confirmed her BUN and creatinine were through the roof. So guess what? She's looking at dialysis.
Is the COVID blood syndrome still there? Now, just for you people who haven't heard Nurse Anne before, or maybe you forgot, a lot of times she'll draw blood from a patient, take it down to the lab, but by the time she gets to the lab, the blood has already coagulated to the extent that the lab will tell Anne and others, can't use this blood. Got to get me in a new sample. This is old. It's not. It's brand new. Is that sludge blood still being seen?
Yeah, it's actually very difficult to get blood draws now on people through just going through their veins, like a regular poke through the veins.
Got it.
A lot of the people that have had a multitude of vaccines, this particular, it's very difficult to get their blood. So we're requiring the IV team to come up and place a central line or a PIC line in order to get access to the blood.
A PIC line just to get to the blood.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't an organ in her body that had not been affected.
Well, there you go.
They were all affected.
I really am concerned that we're facing a tsunami of death. That's what we're facing. And these people, again, many are being kept somewhat functional out of the hospital by modern medicine, which is really it's almost hopeless. Once you develop COVID spike-related damage to major organs in your body, it's just a matter of time. You can't reverse it. You can't really treat it. Sometimes, apparently, you can treat symptoms. Symptomatic relief, symptomatic minimizing of this syndrome or that damage, but it's just a matter of time before it gets you some other way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to sound negative, but this is the most horrific thing, and 5.5 billion people in the world have been given these shots. You understand when the global elite said we want to reduce the population by, was it 80%, 75%, 80%, 90%? This was their big play. This is the biggest crime in all of history against humanity. And no one will address it as that. Very few. This is the number one biggest crime in history.
Yeah, I would
genocide.
Agree. And that was a 53-year-old. And then I can go, there's another case. This is even sadder in so many ways. This was a person who was only 64, presented again with the shortness of breath, and they were getting treated for pneumonia, and he came through the ER. They said they think it was some autoimmune-induced, drug-induced situation that brought our shortness of breath on, but it wasn't, because they found she had stage 4 breast cancer when they did the workup.
Oh, no. And she didn't know? She didn't know.
She didn't know. Her prior history was that she'd had a pulmonary embolism in the past, and she had some high cholesterol levels and some depression. Now, we're talking about a 64-year-old. A 64-year-old to me is a young person, okay?
Right.
And so, anyway, when she found out that she had stage 4 breast cancer, she opted to be a DNR DNI. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's DNR means do not resuscitate, and basically no intubation, no life support.
Well, I'm waiting for the government to begin to push in the face of this expected, obvious, something that can't be hidden, death wave. They're going to start talking about euthanasia as being a logical out for people. If they were doing it in Canada all the time now. So I don't know. I think that's going to come here. The other side of this whole... Go ahead. Go.
Yeah, I would. I think the American population are skittish about it, because I know it's come up in conversations at work, and they're a little skittish about it, but it may come down the pipeline at a later date.
Yeah. No, I think we're looking at that in the future. What is also going on here, and people just don't talk about this, don't know it, this is one of the biggest transfer of wealth crimes ever. People have built their entire lifetime, let's say a savings, they've built up real estate holdings, they've got precious metals, whatever. They get sick, and when people are sick and facing a fatal end, they'll spend all of their money to try to put it off, to stop it. And where does that money go? Right into the system. So that's how people are dying virtually penniless now. They're spending all of their lives and accumulation of wealth, all of it, on trying to stay alive. So they again, the controllers knew this would happen. They didn't have to worry about taxing people. They're going to get it back through the medical system, et cetera.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how I see it. Transfer of wealth. Huge. Huge.
And the amount of little old people that come through the hospital that don't have anybody is quite shocking. So, there's one lady, she was there, she talked to me, she said she still had her home, and she was going back to her house, but it's only a matter of time before she ends up becoming a readmission to the hospital, and eventually she'll end up in either a long-term care facility or mm-hmm. something like that, where the state will, or the nursing home will go after her home, and she'll lose all of it. She doesn't have any children, so she has no children, and so they're going to get her home, and that happens a lot more than you think.
Sickening. I can imagine. We think we accumulate things. We think we own our home. You don't own your home, friends. Try not paying your property taxes and see who owns your home. You don't. No, it's all set up. This is a terrible, terrible system. It's awful. Okay.
Yeah, and then there was one more case. Again, this first person is only 62. She came in, and basically she had been having was confusion initially, is what they said. Well, they thought she might be having a stroke. She had a fall, so the EMS is called because she had a fall. She fell at home. This lady does have a family.
Was this an accident? Anne, excuse me. Was this an accidental fall, or did she black out and wake up on the floor? Fall?
No. She blacked out and woke up on the floor. So when the family found her, they had called EMS. EMS brought her to the hospital, mm-hmm. and they thought she had a stroke or a seizure that probably brought the fall on. Well, when they did the workup, they found that, and this lady is totally with it too, lovely lady, alert and oriented, and could talk to you all day long. She has pancreatic cancer with mets to the brain, so it has the cancer has metastasized to the brain. She also has renal cancer in one of her kidneys. She had, apparently they think she might have had a seizure. They found cancer in her thyroid. They found that when she was in the hospital, she started to go in and out of consciousness, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. They thought it was either medication related or was it a metabolic toxic incident.
Right.
Neurology was following her at that time. Then she became her heart became very tachycardic, meaning very fast, and she was breathing very fast. And they were concerned about, because at that point she was still a full code, they were concerned about how extreme we wanted to go to treat her. And the family had been there while a lot of this was going on. They weren't 100% certain of why she had been going in and out of consciousness. They thought maybe an infection, or was it the cancer itself to the brain that caused all of this? They basically ruled out bacterial and viral meningitis on her. And then
how many shots did she get?
When I looked at her chart, there was over 15 different vaccines on her chart, between the flu vaccine, the pneumonia
adult vaccines.
Adult vaccines, yeah. And the vaccines for COVID, and then the boosters that followed afterwards. A total of over 15.
Wow.
When it was,
She didn't know until she hit the floor and woke up. She didn't know that she had all of these cancers and other problems. She didn't know.
She did. Right? She had no knowledge. No, she had no knowledge of it. And their oncologist feels that it started when the pancreas, which was very interesting. You would have thought that she'd been in a lot of pain. But They feel it started in the pancreas and then just metastasized everywhere.
Who tells the family this kind of news? Do you do it as a nurse, a professional nurse, sometimes? Or do they handle it through the front office?
The doctors. The doctors are, once the diagnostics are done, the doctors are the ones who are supposed to tell them. But, of course, they go in and they try to, sugarcoat it and make it all sound nice and sweet, and they'll do everything they can. We're looking at a clinical picture saying, what are you going to really do? I mean, there's not a lot to do. But in this case, the doctor was, matter of fact, he laid it all out. He said that she's, the cancer had metastasized, so there wasn't a whole lot they could do other than maybe try some treatments, but they probably wouldn't have a lot of success with this. And so they, the family and the patient got together, and she became a do not resuscitate patient. And so that's how that case ended.
Right. I'm not appalled, but I'm very saddened by this. You mentioned earlier the woman who didn't even know she had stage 4 breast cancer. These people don't know that they're critically sick and they're still out functioning normally, whatever normal is for them, and they just don't know. And then they're hit with this like a ton of bricks. It just boggles my mind. You, my friend, are to be commended so highly. I don't have proper words. You're a wonderful professional. Your compassion knows no bounds for these people. They're very fortunate to have you around. You know more, and I think you'd probably agree with my assessment. You know more or as much as a hell of a lot of doctors out there. You're smarter intuitively. Your experience. And I'm leading up to the big question here. Do you run across others with your skills very often in that profession of nursing now? What are you seeing?
Well, there's a couple of nurses who have always questioned the vaccine and always will.
But only a couple, only a relatively few.
Only a couple.
So generally speaking,
the majority
don't
of the nurses
there.
Are vaccinated.
Wow. Oh, Yeah.
So you're going to see that generation to start to get really sick too, because they got the older generation to the point where they're so deathly sick now. There's just so much going on, but the younger generation that took the vaccines, they're going to get very sick as well. But I will tell you, every night we have two or three codes in the hospital every single night, and I will also tell you this: every single night. There's a code call either in the OB department. There was one last night, actually, when I worked there. There was a code call, so that means that either the mom or the baby are both.
Really?
Yeah.
So the mother or the baby die, they die. Code means, for those who don't know, it means they die, basically. That's it.
Yeah.
They code out.
And the team have to go and try and bring them back to life. So there was a code call at 3 a.m. in the OB department. At the beginning of the shift, there was a code call in the ICU. Uh-huh. And then on my unit, there was a code call at 5:30 a.m. on another patient. So we are averaging three a night in code
and
calls.
Six years ago, this was not happening. People were coming to hospital.
No.
They were being treated. They were being discharged. Some were actually cured, sent home to continue living a normal, productive life, whatever that was. But that's all gone now. It's a whole different scenario. You told me once long ago, you used to look forward to sending people home healthy. You can't do that anymore. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Not very often.
No, it doesn't. They very rarely go home. And then, of course, the medical community fails the patients again, because that one case I led into where it was an unsafe discharge, and we all said it, the nurses all said it was an unsafe discharge. They send this very confused recitation poem with his wife.
Yeah.
So you have that scenario play out too. Like, why? Like, if the nurses are thinking this, why aren't the doctors thinking it? But, you know, they say, well, the psychiatrist signed off on it. They said he's okay to go home.
No, pass the buck. Nobody wants to take on the responsibility. No.
No. No.
We have
young doctors coming in. They're very young now. And, like, I will be honest with you. There's many, many times I'm trying to tell the doctor, this is what's going on. Because they've got a million other patients they have to see in the hospital. I'm like, this is what's going on. This is the patient's vital signs. The patient's a full code. And you need to get up here and lay eyes on them because we need fluids because there's no blood pressure. We need to start thinking about getting a code card in the room. I mean, it's terrible because I don't get paid to be a doctor. I was never a doctor. I don't get paid like a doctor, but here I am trying to tell the doctor, this is what you need to be doing, and you need to get up here now. I don't know how many times I've had to do that, and it's like pulling my own hair out sometimes to get them up there. And then they don't get up there in time, and we're pushing the code button.
So they just, I'll bet some of them wait. They just wait. They don't want to be bothered.
No, Jeff, they're swamped. The population, they're seeing so many sick people.
It's sheer work overload.
There's not enough doctors anymore.
I'll give them that. I got it.
Yeah.
What a horrible place to work. I don't know how you do it.
It's very hard at times. I've come off a 10-day night stretch. It's nearly been 10 days in a row with one day off. So it's been a very tiring rotation this time around.
And, 10 days.
And it's also
10 days.
10,
wow.
10 days. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's been an emotional roller coaster because there were some really nice patients that were I took care of that were given devastating news and were not prepared for it. And then there's all these other patients that are hugely aggressive towards the staff and violent. And it's very, I know sometimes it's not their fault, but it is very, very hard and very mentally and emotionally draining. And so there's been a lot of I come off night shift and I come home and all I can do is just about get into the house and fall asleep. So it's been very, very exhausting. My career should be coming down. It should be shouldn't be this
winding
difficult
down
at this point.
Right.
And
yeah,
right now, I've never worked as hard as I do now.
I don't think it's going to change. Do you, honestly? There's too many people who are dying right now. They're walking and talking, but they are literally on the way out. I don't know how you do it. Imagine that, everybody. 10 straight days of that. And thank you for coming on tonight. I know you'd rather be sleeping and resting, but this information...
I slept all day.
Well, this information is unknown. It's not covered. You know, you watch the media occasionally. There's nothing out there. No one's talking about it. I'm seeing a few more stories now about the flu vax causing terrible reactions in people, which suggests that they have tinkered with the flu vax. I don't think that they've made it mRNA yet, although that was their plan. They were going to try and double up and give COVID and flu vax simultaneously. I don't think they're doing that yet, but something seems to be different with the flu vax now. I don't know.
I think I think they did do it, and they didn't say it.
Well,
common knowledge.
Well, that could be.
Because it might explain the behaviors that we're seeing with the patients.
Wow. Yeah, I have... friends that have changed, we'll say. One guy I've known for a long time. It's like I was just written out of the opera. I never get any contact, no communication, nothing, just gone, just written out, gone. And I'm sure that's happening all over the map.
The people who are walking around healthy, they've got short fuses. Like you go out in the community. And I was blaming the area, but I don't know anymore. I go out in the community, and you meet these people, and they're all highly strung and stressed out and not too friendly. And so I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's happening, but people are changing.
Something's happening. Something big is happening. You're right. And thank you for being here and for being who you are and all the contributions you make and never get thanked for. Just know that you're being thanked on a much higher level. I know that. You know that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. And it's nice to talk to you.
Always.
And we'll talk
my
again.
My pleasure. Okay. Good night, dear.
Thank all you. Right. Good night. Bye-bye. Night.
What a sweetheart. Just a great medical professional. Okay, that's our update with Nurse Ann. We will be back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.